AM 1220 KDOW presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, helping you excel in business and in life. Here's business coach and Money 2.0 host, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome to Money 2.0 Business on the Edge. This show is brought to you by the Small Business Concierge Communications and Digital Media. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's radio show. We appreciate your listenership always, always. We are broadcasting live from Silicon Valley, Bay Area, and around the world on AM 1220 KDOW, iHeartRadio, and of course, online streaming. You can always listen live there. If you want to dial into tonight's show, you can dial in at 1-800-516-1220. That is 1-800-516-1220 and get your questions and comments on air with me tonight. Of course, if you want to connect with me directly, Coach Jackson, you can email me at onthe edge@businessontheedge.biz, B-I-Z, or call 1-888-MY-SBC-30. My SBC 30. Here we are. We are in week three of Black History Month. And I'm wondering, are we more aware of the Black culture today, the pandemic and the racial tension and the George Floyds and the Breonna Taylor and the loss of lives highlight the disparities, the differences, this out of balance that we've been experiencing. And what are we saying? What is it that this nation is moving towards? Can we move towards a more equitable existence that I subscribe to? We're many nations. We have Indian nations, we have Asian nations, we have Caucasian nations, we have Black nations, Brown nations, of people that if you have some sort of belief in God, then we're all here and placed here on this planet to live what I believe is the optimal life, the best life. If we lived in a utopian world, what would that look like? If we laid aside differences, or what if everyone on the planet was the same color? There wasn't multiple different nations. What kind of world would this be? Or I remember in one of Janet Jackson's songs, she said, if we were all in the dark, you know, what color would we be? What would happen? Would there be differences if someone has blue eyes versus brown eyes, hazel eyes? Is there something in us that there has to be a group or some group that says, I want to be superior to all of the other groups? The animal kingdom, we have the king of the jungle, right? Is that really? I don't really subscribe to that thinking. I think that every person, every individual has the same, should have the same opportunities to aspire to be the best version of whatever they're supposed to be. And I mean, in a good way, aside from, you know, there's always, you know, I guess going to be people that you, for lack of a better term, you're going to have to lock up. Okay. So that aside, but when they're born, everyone, we're saying, hey, you have opportunity. And as a community and as wherever we live, we want to ensure that you have those opportunities. Now, we can't make you pursue them, but the opportunities are there without anyone getting in your way to prevent that. And I think for Black History Month, what it means to me, and the realization, is that Black History Month is not just one month. No history is one month, whether it was American History Month or Hispanic History Month or Asian History Month, or that if you, whatever nationality you are, you're that every single day of the year. And there's history being made every single day of the year in that culture, that community, right? Blacks are making history, whites are making history, Asians are making history, women are making history, Spanish are making history, Indians are making history. There's history constantly. So why Black History Month? Why is it important to set aside a month to have these types of discussions, to have events and have celebrations? I guess I could say, well, why do we do birthdays? I get a birthday every year. Now it's only for one day. I celebrate all month, actually. I'll be here all month. July, I'm here all month. My birthday's in July. And so why do we, it comes around once a year. So why do I celebrate me once a year? Why do people celebrate me once a year? People that love me and all of that. So I think it's kind of like that we want to celebrate, and we want to remember those that paved a way for us, those that laid down their lives for us. And let me just be clear that Black history doesn't mean, it's not just Blacks who gave their lives. We've got whites, the John Browns, who gave their lives for equality. So I think Black History Month means something different to everyone. I think you really have to kind of individualize that for yourself. For me, I'm proud. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Black woman in America. Has America loved me back? Some do. Some don't. And I think that's the reality. And those that don't, that's okay. I don't lose any sleep over that. That's not what's important to me. All I can say is that it's your loss. It's your loss. And so, but those that do, I enjoy the ride. I enjoy the experience. I enjoy learning about other cultures. I enjoy learning about, I just love learning about history. I think if I were going to do anything else, I would, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because in high school, history just was not my thing. But I would be a history teacher. Because I like to look back and I want to know where people came from. I want to understand, the struggles, the successes. How did you get here today? I'm fascinated with different cultures. I really enjoy, I really want to learn the Spanish language. I want to learn how to speak Spanish, and I'm going to do that. I have a mentor who speaks 14 different languages. And so I love those differences, the creativity. We are the Black culture. There's a lot of creativity that comes out of our culture, but we're so much more, we're going to continue to talk about creativity, but there's so much more I'm interested in seeing where we go in terms of technology. The disparities in underrepresented Blacks in the tech field is astronomical. For Blacks, Hispanics, for Indians, Native Indians, other, And so I think we can embrace, you know, these months that we celebrate different cultures and learn. I like to learn more about the Asian community and Chinese New Year and, you know, all of the things that, and then we have the Jewish people when they, you know, they have their celebrations. And so I think we're majoring on the minors while we are divided. We can build more if we can build together in this. And so I want to talk a little bit more about creativity and some of the Blacks in the creative industry in Hollywood. There's not a lot, but I think I'd like to think that we are progressing. And so when we come back, I'm going to bring someone on who is one of my favorite creatives on the planet. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0 Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson. We are talking creativity in the Black culture, artistry, creativity, actors, musicians, storyboard artists, animators. In June, late June of last year, a number of animated TV shows announced that white actors would no longer be voicing non-white actors. And so we're seeing these changes that are coming along. And I want to bring on and just kind of broaden the discussion on animators that are out there, that are Black animators that are out there in Hollywood that are paving the way for other young Blacks and Brown kids that can see someone who looks like them in an industry that they want to be in, whether it's animation or storyboard or acting or science or STEM, education, sports, politics, that they can aspire to. Alvy Jackson is a young, up-and-coming storyboard artist, is making his way through in his discipline. He has worked on shows for CBS, Viacom. He's done some work for us as a creative director on our animated commercial. Worked with some great Hollywood artists that have worked on things for Disney and Cartoon Network. And so I'd like to introduce to you Alvy Jackson, who happens to also be my son. So I would like to welcome him to the show. Alvy, how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I think I had you on my show once before in the 10 years that I've been on air. I think I've had you on once in that entire time. And so I'm glad to have you back on with us. So when you look at Black History Month, Black History, what does it mean to you?
That's a very good question, actually. I guess when it comes to Black history, I always felt like we were only getting like the bare minimum or the tip of the iceberg of a much larger bit of knowledge about our own heritage and our own sense of wonder. Because like when I was growing up, I mostly saw or read in my history books a lot more of the racial issues of Black history, but even in those dark times, there were times where we, as both as a race and as a community, have managed to create and bloomed incredible things. For example, our community has created jazz and multiple other styles of music that we listen to this day, and basically is immortalized as a full-blown genre. And even back then, in those history times, like, for example, Harlem kind of blew up the whole jazz area, along with places in Louisiana, New Orleans, where even, like, not just Black people came for the music, but also, like, white kids that wanted to go with their dates and things like that. So it was something that basically showed that there was, like, some positivity in those times that we can really say we accomplished something.
Right. That's a very good point. So there is a lot of good that we didn't get in history, and you'd have to take like Black history rather than American history to kind of learn a little bit more, where oftentimes what we're hearing now is that, you know, to blend the histories, because it's really not separate histories. American history consists of Black history, or Black people a part of American history, and rather than separating them. So you're in the millennial generation, and there's a lot going on. And so in the last couple of years, you know, we've seen this, like this, it's almost like a next level racial divide in this country, starting with, of course, the George Floyd killing, and then Breonna Taylor, and then Ahmaud Arbery, and so on. We keep going. And just recently, just days ago, we're reading about Mississippi father and son chasing down a Black FedEx driver and shooting at him. You know, thank God they didn't kill him, you know, and they were arrested. But when you look at where this country is at, and as a young Black man who goes out every day, how do you feel about that? We've got about 2 minutes before we go to the break, but what are your thoughts on that?
Honestly, it really hurts my heart to think that I can walk out my door and literally have to be worried about my own safety, just going down to the store to get food, only for myself to basically have to worry about if somebody's going to stop me because I look suspicious because of my skin color, or that I dress in a certain way. And honestly, I don't think anybody wants to feel like that, no matter the skin color to begin with.
But as a Black
man in this country, it's really difficult to really not be seen as intimidating to anybody who isn't. And I try my best to really basically make myself very approachable and not like what they would consider the stereotype Black man. But even then, it's still very, like, hard.
Right. And unfair. I've got about 30 seconds before I go to a commercial break here. I think we're going to go ahead and go into it and pick up this conversation in the next segment. And so thank you, Alvy. We'll stick with you and stick with us. And we're going to go to a commercial break. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Martha Jackson, Bay Area's business and finance leader.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. Money 2.0, Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, Bay's business and finance leader here. And we are back with Alvy Jackson, who is a storyboard artist. And my son, I'm proud of him. I don't usually bring him on. I think once in the last 10 years that I've been doing this show. But I thought I really wanted to hear his perspective as a millennial, as a young Black man in this country, and his experience from his perspective. And it's very real in terms of how our young people are feeling right now. The heightened tension in our communities across this country is concerning. And as a mother, you know, I'm concerned, right, that my son or my husband goes out and are they going to come home? And even though things are happening, yes, to our women and our daughters, we obviously see much more happening to our men. And so I want them to come home safely. I don't want them stopped by police who we're supposed to feel comfortable with and safe with. And I've worked in the law enforcement industry in my early 20s. And my perspective right now of our police officers has changed. I don't feel safe with you. I don't want to call you if something's going on, because I don't know if you're going to be abusive. I don't know if you're going to take my life or take my family's life. And so we're figuring out how to resolve things without police involvement. And that's sad. That's too bad that we're there. So we're going to go back to Alvy Jackson. Alvy, okay, so you are new in your industry and you've been building your career as a, so tell us, how does it feel to be in an industry that is probably underrepresented with Blacks? Do you look at it like that? Or do you look at that, I'm just grateful for an opportunity, I'm going to work and I'm, you know, and you have the benefit of working from home as an artist. What is your perspective on all of that? What do you think you're fortunate, or how do you feel as a Black man in an industry that maybe there's not a lot of us there?
I would have to say that I am very fortunate to really be in the position where I am today, because to some extent there is, like, you do send out your resume, hundreds upon thousands of resumes every year in the industry, no matter your skin color. And it's also as difficult to get your name out there, especially as a Black man, through hiring. And one of the biggest, like, challenges is mostly, especially in an industry that's already super competitive, is really just trying to be a Black man, trying to compete with everyone else in the industry for the most part. And it can be very difficult because most Black people didn't get the education, or didn't have the scholarship, or didn't go to the perfect school, but they have all that talent and all that skill, but they also don't have the network that these guys want or anything like that.
But so,
for me, I was very...
No, go ahead. I thought you were finished. Please continue.
But for me, I was very fortunate. I was able to work hard and managed to get my work past hiring to the point where it got noticed by somebody at CBS. And now I've been working with Viacom since last year. So
that feels good. Can you tell us, like, some of the shows you've worked on in the past? You've worked for Viacom. I've got your resume here, and Smash Bits. What kind of shows have you enjoyed working on? What kind of work you've been doing out there?
I've been doing a lot of freelancing for the most part, because a lot of this industry, especially the entertainment industry, uses freelancers as the majority of their workforce. One of the things that I would normally do is I would be a storyboard artist. What that would be is somebody who went in and basically just drew out a couple series of panels or pictures that would help the animators animate in between to basically visually show what the script is going to look like. And one of the latest shows I've worked on recently was Fairview for Comedy Central. And that was a lot of fun to work on, along with other shows. Like, I've done some YouTube shows for independent creators through Smash Bits. I've done advertisements for various products and apps and materials. But for the most part, I've kind of done all, really.
That's exciting. I've got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Alvy Jackson about his experience as a professional Black man in the United States in Black History Month. Stay tuned. You're listening to AM 1220 KDOW Business on the Edge with Margaret Jackson, and we are Bay Area's business and finance leader.
Get ready. Business on the Edge is taking you out of the studio walls with the Small Business Concierge Magazine. You've been waiting, looking for it. Now it's here. Business expert contributors, small business concierge, STEAM, local events, YE 2.0, the young entrepreneur, women in business centerfold, small business science lab, bridging the gap, the bottom line. Now here's Silicon Valley's number one business radio personality, Margaret Jackson.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Small Business Concierge segment of the show, which is one of my favorite segments of the show. We get to share with you what's going on with our small businesses and continue our conversation and all of that good stuff. In fact, in our Small Business Concierge magazine that we are, every Friday, we are refreshing that publication. So we've got a refresher coming towards you tonight. And we've got a new article in there from Lamb Research, about one of our guests that was on earlier this month, Albert Wright, a community leader helping youth see themselves in the semiconductor industry. So it is in the STEAM section of the magazine. You can go out to our website at smallbusinessconcierge.biz and check out the magazine there. It is embedded on our website, and also you can go out to issue.com, search for small business and pick up the magazine there, Small Business Concierge magazine out there. Also, the Global Diversity Investment Summit is coming up, and that is February 25th from 10 a.m. to noon. It is also in the magazine. You can register for that. The Global Diversity and Investment Summit. This is the Inclusivity Project Summit from the SBDC network here in Silicon Valley, but anyone can attend it all over the world. It is a virtual event. Black-owned businesses, angel lenders, and industry leaders to the third Global Diversity and Investment Summit. So this is a summit that supports and funds opportunities to get funded by venture capitalists or lenders that are Black business owners. So you want to check that out. Register for it. Go out to our website at smallbusinessconcierge.biz and you can look up this actual advertisement, full page advertisement, and register. The link is in the magazine. And while you're there, look at, read some of those articles out there that will help you out. So we're talking to my son, who I am so proud of. I'm a proud mother. He's an entrepreneur. He is a talented, gifted artist, illustrator. In fact, I have a lot of his art hanging around our home. And so, Alvy, let's talk a little bit about and continue this conversation about your experience as an African-American male in today's world. Do you think, or are you hopeful that there's some changes happening, that there's a glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel, that we're moving in a direction that you don't have to leave and go out and be concerned about your safety in the professional industries? We see that that Hollywood, like I started out earlier, that there's changes in terms of white actors voicing Black characters. That's going away. We've got great animators out there. In fact, one of the animators that you talked about earlier, Floyd Norman. Norman, has he had an influence on you in terms of your discipline in the artistic industry as an artist?
I think in terms of being one of the first trailblazers in the craft, it definitely is inspiring to basically just look back at these animators and see their accomplishments and try to strive to improve upon that and try to be better at it. Because, I mean, I do think there is some improvement, but I feel like we're still a long way from getting to that point. But I did find like a bit of statistics from a site called Zipia, which explains sort of like the demographics of the storyboard artist in the U.S. And surprisingly, it looks like in terms of at least the wage, Black storyboard artists make more than white, Asian, or even Hispanic, which is surprising, actually.
Wow. Wow, that is surprising. That's interesting. Definitely send that over to me. I'd love to see it. And so we know that Floyd Norman, he's from the 50s, 1957, hired. He worked on, what are some of the projects he worked on? Like you mentioned, Sleeping Beauty.
He was a Disney animator. He's still around, too. Like, he's retired, I think, but he's one of like the early ones that worked close with Walt Disney. So,
right, Pixar, Toy Story 2, Monsters Inc., mm-hmm. The Jungle Book, which was, I grew up on the Jungle Book, 101 Dalmatians, and so there was someone trailblazing. So, he kind of helped trailblaze, and here you are today and those that have come behind him. Do you attribute your opportunities to him and others that came before you?
I do to some extent. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm an artist whose goal in life is really just to entertain people as much as I did when I was a kid, being entertained by my predecessors. Mm-hmm. And that's really all that is to it. At the end of the day, we're all entertainers.
In some sort of fashion. So if someone wants to get connected with you and you have a website, your website is alvijackson.com, so they can look at some of your work there. How would they connect with you in terms of, say, hey, I want to hire you for an opportunity? What's the best way to do that?
Well, for my freelance stuff, I've been working mostly on Upwork. You can find me there with my name, LB Jackson. Another way is you can contact me via social media links as well. I try to basically just throw myself out there in terms of my brand, because right now in this day and age, it's sort of like you don't really need, it's more than just, you need more than one job to really stay afloat. Now more than ever. So, and more in multiple sources of income. So like, for example, it's like you can have like a typical 9-to-5 job in the animation industry, but at the end of the day, you're also doing other things such as freelancing or even like working on your own brand at the end of the day. So
artists do that. They work on their own stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mostly because on one hand, like you said, the entertainment industry is like on a project basis versus like a perpetual company per se. So things can be like slow or fast or productive or very quiet. So we always try to do what we can to stay afloat in other ways. It's basically like, and this is a term I coined myself for the most part, saying like artists don't take breaks. We just work on something else.
Can you hold right there? I've got to get us out of this segment, and we will be right back. Thank you for tuning in to AM 1220 KDOW Business on Edge with Margaret Jackson. We'll be right back.
For more information on the Small Business Concierge magazine or to invite Margaret Jackson to speak, go to smallbusinessconcierge.biz. That's smallbusinessconcierge.biz.
This is Money 2.0 on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back. We are at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to get out of here in just a few moments, but we are going to hopefully wrap up strong here for you. I love the entertainment industry. I love creativity. I'm proud of my son who I had a lot of experience with living in a household with creativity. My first company was a production company, did a lot of work producing a lot of different things. And I can remember I would be up editing late at night, and you know, he'd be curled up in a chair somewhere if I was in the office with you know, at my client's office or company I'm working at. And so he's had that experience surrounding him, and hopefully, you know, we did our best to give him an experience to allow him to, what every parent wants is for their kids to excel, to, well, every good parent. I know that there's always the anomaly, but I'm talking about stable, normal people who, you know, you have your kids. And, you know, when my son was born, even before he was born, I just always wanted the best for him. And so, and he's living the life that he loves. And so it's great. We grew up on, you know, and he grew up on Bruce W. Smith's The Proud Family. And I can remember him and I don't know, Al, if you remember this, but asking, you know, why isn't there more people that look like me in, you know, in the creative space, you know, on cartoons? And I didn't really have a good answer for that other than, you know, it that's the way the industry was. And we have to, you know, build towards helping ourselves be represented in different spaces, and maybe not always waiting and asking someone to give us the opportunity, but to create our own animation studios and create our own, you know, create and start businesses that are owned by Blacks in any industry for that matter. I think that that's important, that we can be represented, and we should, and nations should feel like they're a part of the global community. So Alvi, so we can get connected with you through Upwork. That's how we hired you, through Upwork and some of the talent that we got from Hollywood. You hired some great, great folks. Are you seeing more businesses and small businesses wanting to have commercials and work done and illustrations done for their businesses? Are you getting those kind of asks?
Yeah, actually, like for Upwork, I'm currently considered top rated, which is basically a status on the platform that puts you at the top 10% for searches on Upwork. So if somebody needs a storyboard artist or an illustrator or a digital artist or an animator, I would show up in that top 10% of lists first,
right,
before anybody else.
Got it. Yeah. Are you, so I guess what I'm asking is so when you're out there, what are they asking for? Are these business owners that want, you know, some creative work done for their business? And we're seeing, I'm seeing an upswing in animation and commercials, even done by major organizations, like Colgate. You shared that Colgate commercial with me, which was fantastically done. What are you seeing?
I would say that a lot of them are moving towards animation because a lot of the times it's just easier to do, especially now during because of the pandemic, people weren't able to basically go out and film with a large group of people during that time, and we sort of kind of got used to it. Not only that, a lot of people are mostly staying at home and watching animations on YouTube and things like that, because that's where a lot of like young audiences are getting their content from. So marketers and people who are researching this stuff to build out a product are looking at this and saying, hey, these people are making these animations, we should probably do that for a product. So there's people out there that are basically trying to get animators and artists and storyboard artists on board to try and create animations for their products in advertisements or for like a show or even like for simply just like any sort of project they want to sell.
Right, because we're seeing more of the whiteboard too, like the whiteboard art that you hear the voice, that they're telling the story, and you've got this hand writing across the, you know, drawing the pictures as they go. So we're seeing more, I think, creativity in terms of what can be created from illustration and works like that. So we've got about 1 minute before we're out here on the out of the show. Do you want to share your website with the audience?
You can follow me. Check out my website at albiejackson.com. I also post on my social media pages, which is Al Draws for Fun, which is with a four, not with, with the number four. But you can find all those links on my website as well. So feel free to reach out or even like some of the work that I do and things like that.
Perfect, perfect. Albie, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so proud of you. And keep up the great work. We look forward to great work coming out of the creativity field with you. You're listening to Margaret Jackson on AM 1220 KDOW, Business on the Edge. We are Bay Area's business and finance leader. Be good to someone out there. Remember, live your best life and be at your optimal best, whoever you are. And let's help push people to that next level. Shoot for the stars. Have a good evening.